Kimberly, you go have fun. Thank you. Thank you, Tristina. Well, it is good to see all your faces. Well, part of your faces. It's always funny to look out and see part of you. Wanted to share with you, we always like to say thank you because Anderson First Church of the Nazarene is tremendously generous to us as pastors and as staff. And every year you provide our kids with gifts. And so I always like to show you or give you a glimpse into our house on Christmas. I chose that hoodie because it felt a little more ghetto. And so I like to be ghetto here and there. And so last year she had the really nice ones that I said, I want like a hood and I want to look like, you know, but my stomach grew a little bit, so it doesn't look as good as it could. But anyway, that's us. So we wanted to say thank you. We really do appreciate what you do and how you love on us. And you can see the excitement in their eyes there. And there's Charlotte on the bike that you got her. She wanted to stay out there, but it was cold this Christmas, and I didn't mind it. But I don't know, after an hour, I guess, was it an hour? Not even, it felt like an hour. We went in. I also wanted to share with you that we've had a tremendous amount of feedback already from Friday. And so there is something that someone just randomly wrote on Facebook and they screenshotted it. Carrie, and you have a whole bunch of responses on the computer that we'll share as well. And this week, look for a video on the way that you blessed people, but I'll read it out loud to you. I'd like to say a big thank you to the Anderson First Church of the Nazarene for showing their appreciation for everyone who has worked through the COVID by giving us a gift card. That means a lot. And we've heard a lot of that. And so I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you. You made it possible and you are appreciated. It's been a rough week, hadn't it? Yeah. And it's okay to say that. I think that 2020 was a rough year. And sometimes we just have to be real in the church and say, yes, it's real. I've gotten a little frustrated this week because a lot of Christians are saying choose joy. It isn't that we're not choosing joy in Christ, but we can be a little sad. I mean, I think that sometimes we have to be okay that we have emotions. Jesus was not always elated. He was not always running the streets with excitement and encouraging people to dance. There was a reality to Jesus that he felt some things. He cried at times. He corrected at times. He threw some tables at times. And so we do choose joy, and we know where our heart lies. We know where our future is. We know where our hope is. So we haven't lost hope. But I can say that this week and the last 10 to 12 months have not been easy. And so I want you to know that we're praying for you, your prayer team's praying for you. And I would encourage you that if ever is a time to get it right with the Lord, if there was ever a time to stop just letting those moments when the Spirit says, hey, you need to, we all need to start listening to that. We need to start realizing that it's time to. I was proud of my wife. She really shared on Friday and a lot more than even I did, and just the words of Christ and why. And as I watched some of the others do that, I was proud of you because we need to do more of that. The world needs to see that we have the answer, and we do. And they just need to know that. And so the more we say it, the more they're going to see it. But the more that we live it out, the more they're going to realize it. And so it's going to take us. Because change is not going to happen by us crying here today or crying here on Wednesday. It's going to take us being change agents in our society, in our workplaces, in our homes. We have to do it. We've gone past the point of we can just sit in our church building and pray. Wouldn't you agree with me? Jesus is probably looking at us, and I think of that song by Brandon Heath, you may be the answer to the prayer that you're praying. And so we have to be more active in our faith. I think that 2021 needs to see the church rise up and be the church that Jesus intended it to be, which is a walking, moving representation of the heart of Jesus. And so I hope you understand that, and I hope you know that we're praying and that it's going to take us activating to see hearts change. Because like I said Wednesday, it is not a country issue, it's a heart issue. The enemy has been at the hearts of people for a long time. And he's doing a pretty good job of getting to the heart of people. And then what happens, he gets to the root of a family. And then what happens, a family is messed up. And so a family, and it just bleeds from there, and it keeps bleeding. And we have to be the people that stop that bleeding. We have to be the people that see hearts. We have to be, as Abby said this morning, we have to let people come as they are and then let Jesus do a work. Hadn't he done a work in you? And if he's done a work in you, then have faith that whoever walks through or whoever comes along, he can do a work in them as well. And we have to start believing it. I really believe that 2021 is a year that we as Christians have to genuinely believe that God can do something significant and he can use you. And so I would just encourage you in that today. I'd like you to just grab your Bible. So in the next couple of weeks, if you have time, I would encourage you to stay in 1 John, or you can read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, but I would encourage you to read over and over and over again 1 John, because that's where we're going to be through January. And so if you would turn with me in your Bibles to John, 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to go through verses 1 through 5. Very, very simple verses. And once you have that, if you would, just stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Now, so you can easily see where I got the title of my message from, right? It should say in your Bibles, faith conquers the world. Do you see that? Or maybe it doesn't say it in your Bible, only in mine. Well, mine's the right one, so whatever you're reading, I don't know. I'm just kidding. Think about these words, and it starts out with a great word, which is everyone. What does that say to us today? If we follow what's about to be said, we should know that it includes everyone, which includes you. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. That is the big old but statement. And in the Word, we find them everywhere. So, everyone who, but if you want to be that everyone, you have to, when we love God and obey His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. Isn't that a good statement for today? And I didn't know all that was going to happen this past week when God put this on my heart, but God knows what He's doing. For whatever is born of God conquers the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Church, we talked about this at Christmas. We talked about how there is a lot of activity that has to happen within us in order to see who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. God, today we just thank you for your word and how it speaks, for the way you prepared us for this day. God, let us receive what it is that you have for us. God, let us realize that here you're saying you're going to use us. And so today, Lord, let us think bigger of ourselves. But at the same time, God, let us think humbly. Let us realize that it's not us, that it's you inside of us. And so today, strengthen our faith. Today, move in our lives. Today, speak to us. Let us go out different in a genuine way. The world needs us. And that's because the world needs you. And so, God, today, come against the enemy with all your power, with all your might, in the name of Jesus. Wipe them away from the hearts, from the minds, from the schemes, from the thoughts. And today, we cast them out in the name of Jesus and through the power that comes in the name of Jesus. And so today, we entrust this time with you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. So let's just go over a couple of things, and I think this is something we sometimes maybe get a little confused or we don't really quite understand, and that is we have to remember that belief is a big part of who we are. Belief is a big part of what we stand on, and when you translate belief here, it actually means faith, meaning as you believe, you have faith. Now, I want you to think about some issues. So one of the issues is, and think about this statement, the issue of faith is not so much whether we believe in God, but whether we believe the God we believe in. Think about that. It's what theologians write about this passage. Because oftentimes it's easy for people to celebrate God. It's easy for people to say, you know, thanks be to God. It's easy for people to win something and say it's all because of God. But what does that really mean? And are you really signifying that you believe in the God that is described in the Word? Or are you believing in something else? See, our faith lies in how we see God. Well, how do you see God? See, some of us, if we were to sit or stand or share today, we would probably come up with different variations of who God is. And see, that's part of the problem. If we were to ask people that don't know God, but say they know God, but know him on maybe a superficial level, they would come at us with different thoughts, wouldn't they? See, what's important for us to understand today is who is the God that we have faith in. And that's something we have to move into and understand. Because the problem is sometimes our thoughts and God's thoughts don't mix. And then we wonder why things don't work out. And then because they don't work out the way we think they should, our faith decreases. And then all of a sudden, we're not the faith-bound people that God desires us to be because we're not in line with who God is. Does that make sense? See, church, we have to start getting in line with who God is. When you translate this here, and we're looking straight at verse 1, it starts out with everyone who believes. And here it translates into P-I-S-T-E-U-O, and that is faith. So right away, we're talking about belief and faith being the same thing. Meaning you have to believe what you have faith in, and you have to have faith in what you believe in. Does that make sense? It goes back and forth. And so here, it's actually talking about having faith in Jesus, upon Jesus, and with Jesus. Now, obviously, we know in this part of the scripture that John is referring to Jesus. He's referring to the words, the life, the ministry, the salvation that's brought because of Jesus. He's also saying that there is only one way. And church, we want to make a lot of ways to get to God. But there really is only one way. And that is to completely and solely believe in Jesus. Meaning if you want to take out some of the controversial statements that separate denominations, okay, then just get to the words of Jesus. And if you can't believe in the words of Jesus, then you've got to get with Jesus. He was saying here that if we're really born of God, we only believe the words of Jesus. And you say, well, Pastor, this is so simple. It seems simple, and we would think that it would be simple, right? Because Jesus is so clear. He's so consistent. If you read the red letters, there really is not inconsistency in who Jesus is. The problem is that our entire nation, our entire world, is creating truths unto themselves. We have gotten to such a place that I could say this in a public place and I would have half the people arguing with me because they would say, no, that's not my truth. And where have we gotten to where only our or my 41 years of experience defines my truth? I'm humble enough to know that there's more to truth than just my 41 years of existence. There was something before me and there was something before you. And see, the problem is we've gotten away from this word. We've gotten away from this passage. We've begun to fall into the trap of establishing our own truth. Also here, he was saying that we have to completely be upon Jesus Christ, meaning where he is, we are. What he's doing, we're there. And we also have to have faith in each other. Well, what do you mean? What's great about this passage is, right, and you have to think, and why I want you to read the whole book is, first of all, it's not that long, so you could do it today in 5 minutes. But second of all, this passage, it wraps everything up. It also says, hey, if we're really going to be the believers that we're called to be, then it means we have to love each other. Well, where do you find that? It says it right there. How do we love the children of God? That's the beginning of it. Then how are we going to love others is defined by how we love each other. And so if we're arguing, if we're not one, I'm just going to be real with you. You know, we get an email from the Church of the Nazarene that says there's already problems because of the way voting is going to happen this year in the Church of the Nazarene for board. Honestly, and we're gonna have elections, we're going to make sure there's two options. So those that are, but is that worth arguing over when the world is a mess? This is what I'm talking about. This is what John is saying. Guys, we can't be like this anymore. But we still want to do it. We want to still act like that stuff is important. And it is, and we're going to follow the guideline that they give us because that's fine with me. And that should be fine with us. But I don't think we should argue over it. There are some bigger things to put our weight, our time, and our emotion into. And so he was saying here, man, we have to have faith in one another. In fact, I've been fascinated as I've studied more and really looked into more. I'm realizing that Jesus set it up even in his healings, that oftentimes healing came because there was a group of people that had faith in Jesus that he could do something in somebody else. So where does your belief lie today? Is it absolute? And you're probably thinking, well, Pastor, wait a minute, I can't question God. I'd be careful in that. Probably a couple of years ago, I would say, it's okay. I think it's okay to say, why, God? I think it's okay to say, I can't believe this is happening. I think it's okay to cry. I think it's okay to mourn. I don't think it's okay to say, well, what you did is no longer relevant to, or what you said doesn't really fit where we're at. I think we have to be careful with that. And I think that's what John is saying. He's not saying that we won't have human emotion, but he's saying, hey, I need you to know that there is an absolute truth that comes and is associated with Jesus. And we have to hold on to that. We can say it's not a great week, but we can't say that our hope is lost. We can't say that Jesus can't. We can't say that, no. Because, see, here he's saying we have to have an absolute truth that we need to know that it is the truth. We also have to know that it is action-based. And you know what? Action looks different for all of us. But if you're not acting out your faith, you're not acting out Jesus. I have some that say when I say these things, they'll send me an email and say, but Pastor, all I can do is pray. Well, don't say it like that. That's not all you can do. I'm glad you do it. And if you can't get up and serve or you can't get up and share and you're not well enough, or you know, wouldn't you rather die praying than die? I mean, come on now. John's saying, well, why don't we just... And see, our belief has to lead into an absolute understanding of Jesus being the truth and that it has to be acted out. And belief can only be present where what is present? Fellowship. Now, I had COVID, and I know the severity of it. And you've heard that story. I also know that the enemy has gotten into health. I know that God hasn't created. In fact, God told us in the beginning that he gave us a perfect body that was going to last for a long time, that we were going to, he also tells us we're going to get a new one because what we have now is flawed. And you can't tell me that the enemy isn't in health, that the enemy isn't creating, that the enemy isn't using things to affect us in our health. You can't tell me that cancer isn't, you can't tell me that he doesn't celebrate when that's who the enemy is. And so we have to know that God intends good for us. We have to believe that, even in the hard diagnosis. I think that if we started giving credit where credit's due, we would dislike the enemy more and love God more. I want you to think about this last thing. So you ever watch the Santa Claus movies? I know Christmas is still on my mind. It takes me about 30 days to get away from it, to unwind, ask my wife. Like, when we took the decorations down, I mean, it was, this is the last time Janae will be 10. This is the last time they're going to be 3. This is the last time she's going to be 5. I mean, what's going to happen? Why are we doing this? Let's keep it up. You know, there's no, so I just start, like, really unraveling, and she just kind of raveling me back up, and I'm never going to get this moment back, and I start sending her the videos, and so I'm still kind of working past that, and so this helps me, like, get through that. But there's this in Santa Claus 1, I don't even remember, but the real Santa, he falls off the roof and his clothes are there, and Tim Allen goes and picks up the clothes, and then when he finally gets to the North Pole, the head elf says, well, didn't you read the clause? You know, you get it, clause, Santa Claus, and that the clause was when you took the clothes, like, that meant you were going to become Santa. And so, and then there was other clauses that came along, but here there's a clause in the belief. And that is that there is something that has to be done in order for this to work out. For too long, we've expected to come to church, give our tithe, and let it work out. And John was saying that's not enough. So there are some clauses that we have to look at. And they are to love and to obey. Now, it may be simple, but I want to throw out a couple of statements today that I hope will maybe challenge your faith and really help you step into some practical movement when it comes to loving and obeying. Because that, if you want to think about the title, being a conqueror, it's only going to come through love and through obedience. And this is where a lot of times when I sit with people or I hear people's hearts, this is where it stops. Wait a minute, I've got to love so-and-so. Wait a minute, I have to be obedient too. Well, I don't think I can completely embrace that. And that's where the struggle steps in. Think about love for a second. Now, I kind of touched on this in the Sunday school training, and it was birthed out of me just studying the different types of love. And here, it isn't the feel or the touchy love. In fact, here, he actually refers to no touching at all. Now, we're kind of used to that now, aren't we? Because we come in and we have to just look at each other or barely look at each other and share our love, whereas a year ago, we would have done what this morning? A lot of hugging, a lot of high-fiving, fist-pumping. We would have expressed our love in physical ways. Well, here, the great thing is that Jesus is telling us through John that this is not a physical love. In fact, there's no element in the translation of physical, meaning all of this is exercised in some other way. Well, it's important to know that here it was speaking about the love that was birthed in to be, meaning to be like Christ. To be with Christ, to be His. It was actually to be. And because Jesus is love, it's going to manifest in you as love. What's interesting, too, is something that I've learned over the years and still I'm not good at, is that language, because see here, Jesus was speaking more about language. Because think about this, if our language is love, then our actions are going to be love, then our outpouring of our heart. And so we don't have to worry about the physical because it begins before the physical even. Because you can hug somebody and curse them at the same time, can't you? Come on now. You can be fake, but it's so much harder to be fake with your words, isn't it? Isn't it easier just to hug somebody and say good morning than to share if you really don't have it in your... And see, this is what was being talked about here. It speaks directly to the outpouring. It speaks directly to the expressions of love. It was interesting. John was only talking about the expressions of love out of the outpouring of your heart. And so how do you express love without being physical? Now you say, that doesn't really speak much to us. Well, you know what? If I were to take it to any other platform outside of a church, people would look at me and say, hey, you know what, I stay with him, and the only way he'll stay with me is if I have sex with him. Or vice versa, the only way that, I'm sorry church, this is what I hear, this is what people tell me. When people come and say, I want to be a part, and I say, well, let's work on it. And they say, well, I've got to do that or he won't love me. Then you don't need to love him anyway. This is why John said, let's stay away from the physical, because you know what the enemy does with the flesh? He messes it up. And then he puts it all over our TV, puts it all over our what we listen to, so that we think that love is physical, fleshly. It ain't. And John was closing it by saying to the people, it ain't. You should be able to express your love in non-physical ways that they should know it. Jesus did not touch everyone he saw. Sometimes he just, and in fact, a lot of the times, what did he do? He just spoke to them. And life was brought to them. Talking about being love. And what's interesting about it too is it talked about forfeiting the benefits of the... Let's talk about obedience here. Fascinating. If you look at the scripture, by this we know when we love God, we obey His commandments. Now, all of us could probably raise our hands right now and say, that is sometimes difficult, right? I mean, come on now. In the last 10 months, didn't you want to say, God, I mean, I just want to, I want to take care of things myself my way. Does that make sense? But here he's saying that we have to be obedient. And it's actually spoken of a course of action or conduct, a to-do list. Now see, we don't, and I'll tell you, let's just be real. There's been years in the church where we've shied away from putting a to-do list next to our faith. And I get that because we're afraid people are going to walk away because we say if you're not doing something. But see, we've messed that up too. We've made it, well, if you're not like a Sunday school teacher for 35 years, then you're not. But see, God has gifted us all differently. God has given us giftings, and if we as a church are embodying his call, there's places that when people share their heart with you that they fit into. And you can say, well, wait a minute, we do something like that. Why don't you go check that out and see them? Because see, as you do, as you move, as you act, as you live out your obedience, God comes in and does a work. And then all of a sudden, by this, we know. Now you can check out the to-do list that's spoken of here online later. But I want to share with you a final statement. Think about this statement here. The moment that obedience vanishes, belief is abandoned. Come on, church. Let's just be truthful. Think about temptation. It is just accurate. The moment that obedience vanishes and you say, you know what, not now, God, belief is abandoned. And when belief is abandoned, we are left to the darkness of the consequences of that moment in time. Now notice here, I didn't say your whole life. I didn't say every step you've made in the Word or every step you've made in the Lord. But in that moment and in that decision, when you abandon your belief, things vanish. And the one thing that vanishes is what John's talking about here. The protection, the light, the presence, the partnering with Jesus Christ. And then what happens is, Jesus goes back into a waiting stance with you for you to come around and receive again. He doesn't leave. He waits. He stands. He looks. So let's go to the last part of this. This idea, so you said passionate about conquering and about practical, and think about Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It's just a little part of this, but you can take that home and read the rest of it. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, why in the world is this significant about being a conqueror? Well, because when you look at the rest of this passage and what Paul was saying, if you want to have rest, because there was a lot of unrest in this day, see, when you start looking at what's actually happening, there was a ton of unrest, and Paul was saying, if you really want to have rest, I mean, I know you're sleeping, and I know you're doing well with that, but yet your heart is still troubled, you have to come unto Jesus. And in order to come unto Jesus, you have to receive him, and then after that, you have to begin to love and be obedient. And that's difficult. And that's where these steps get harder. But think about victory. Victory is through a couple of things. It's through the God who overcomes the world through you. It's evident here that John was expressing the desire of God's heart, and that was to use you, not the rocks. That was to use you and not the... It also is had through our faith. I want you to be thinking here as we close this, where does your faith lie? What is your faith rooted in? Let's just be real. Some of you, it's in your Social Security. Some of you, it's in your job. Some of you, it's in your country. Some of you, it's in your spouse, your kids. See, and victory is through consistent obedience. I felt like God was impressing on my heart to start out the year with putting a plea that we have to be obedient. If this year is going to be different than 2020, then we have to be obedient. We also have to know that it's through fellowship. And that's hard right now, and I completely understand people staying home and all of that, but there's still fellowship even in staying home. And I feel like with the lead of Carrie, we've done a good job of making sure that those that aren't here feel that fellowship, because it is an important part. The word never steps away from it and never says, you alone should. You alone have a decision to make. And that is to listen to Jesus, and then from there to get connected to the body to help support you in that process. Victory is had through fellowship. Think about another way. I thought about this story, and I'm not really into tennis, but Serena Williams in 2012 in July won. But if you remember it, and I don't watch many of them, but if you remember it, the second round she lost pretty severely. And you would have thought at that point that it was done. But then after that, she came back in the third round, and she did great. Something happened. She changed, went in the locker room, and everything changed, and she won. And when you listen to her interviews about that time, you don't hear her speak much about the battle in the middle. You hear her talk about the victory. You hear her talk about how exciting it was and what it meant, and what it meant to go through that in-between trial to get to the end. And so, church, we're in a battle. But it doesn't mean that God's forsaken us. It doesn't mean that our faith is void. It doesn't mean that. What it means is remain obedient, stay focused on the principles that you know, and continue to strive forward, because the turnaround is coming. Think about some other things. God is a good interceptor. Now, I know if you're on the opposite team and you're watching, sorry about the Colts. I was really hoping that they would pull through yesterday, but they didn't. But I feel like, and Pastor Gary and I decided that next year is going to be a better year for the Colts, because they're really on a good, even though they didn't win yesterday, they did good. So I'll give you kudos. Did you hear that, Robbie? Like, one and done. You won't hear it for a long time. But there ain't much to say about the Eagles, so that's just, but think about it. God intercepts. Now, I think one of the greatest things that we're going to come to a realization of when we meet Jesus is the amount of times he did intercept that we didn't know about. It's one of the things that I'm holding on to, because I believe he's doing it more than we realize. I believe that the enemy of our soul is greater than we realize. I believe that we try to maybe give a picture to the enemy, or we try to think of the enemy in relation to maybe what the media has made it or what movies have made it. But I'm telling you, however bad it is, it's worse than that. And I believe that the way that God intercepts for those who love and are obedient is significant. You say, well, he hasn't intercepted for me. Well, where are you? And who is your faith actually in? Start asking yourself these questions today. Cultivate. God, through his Spirit, cultivates a life of subduing. Well, what do you mean? The temptation comes, God speaks to your heart, he subdues that. And you could just keep repeating it. He also subdues our fears. As we step out in obedience, and God brings success into our life, then we... It actually talks in here about being in a constant state of subduing. So some of you should say, phew. So you mean that keeps coming and I keep and God keeps you? Yes, and that's okay, and that may continue for a long time, as long as through the power of God, it's being subdued. So we get to this conquerors we are, or we are conquerors, however you want to say it. I want you to think about two things as we close here. Remember where your strength comes from. And if you're pulling on your own strength, then you're not pulling on the strength of the Lord. Mary, would you come up? Do you mind and just play? I'm not good at opening the altars, but I want to say three statements while we close here. John was very clear, and I hope that you'll go home today and throughout the week and read chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. He was so clear on what it means to really be with, what it means to live out, what it means to truly just have Jesus with us. In fact, he does it in 5 verses. I read a theologian this week that said, it's right there. The answers to all of our, it's right there. In verse 5, it says, who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, this is what throws me off, and it should throw you off today. Why am I saying that? Well, I'm saying it because who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes? You say, wait a minute, that's the Lord's job through you. I'm learning in Scripture, as you really read it and stop avoiding it and stop putting fear into it and say, that can't be me. Well, John wrote it, and I believe he was inspired by God. But the problem is, do you really believe that he can use you? Because here's the thing, who is it that conquers the world but the Joe, Ashley? It's really what it's saying. It's what John was saying to people, guys, come on. It's up to you. Jesus said, I'm sending a great helpmate, all that you need. So think about these three statements through the message. And if this speaks to you and you want to deal with one of these statements, I encourage you to come to the altar. The first is the issue of faith is not so much whether we believe in God, but whether we believe the God we believe in. And so if the God that we believe in values you enough to use you, then you need to value yourself enough to be used. But maybe you struggle with that. And so you have faith in God, but it stops when God says, I want to have faith in you. You got to deal with that. The second statement is the moment that obedience vanishes, belief is abandoned. Are you making decisions where God's presence in your life vanishes because he can't be where that is? And he's already told you that he can't be where that is. And maybe today, why you're not living this out. Or maybe today, why the United States isn't living it out is because we've made too many decisions that push him out. He wants to push back in today. And so I don't know where you're at, but maybe he needs to push back in an area today. The third thing is to be love refers to the opposite of physical expressions of love. Physical expressions are important, but unfortunately they weren't what John was talking about here. And maybe today your struggle is, well, that's the way that I, then there's more that God has for you. And so I'm just going to let Mary play for a minute here and I just encourage you, the altars are open. Look at these three things and say, God, where am I in these things? Let's bow our heads and just have some time with the Lord today. God, today as we close, we just pray today, God, that we would come to the realization that you want to use us. That in replace of that word, one, is our name. But there are some clauses that some of us can't get by today. There are some areas where our love needs to increase through your power. There are some areas where our obedience needs to come under the blood. And so today we just pray. We just lay our hands, our faces, our hearts, our minds before you. And say, God, the way that this can happen is through your power and your presence and your work. And we just ask today, Lord, that you would come and do it. Come and do it. Come and speak. Come and show. God, allow your Spirit to challenge us today. Maybe the next step is you just challenging us in that area and us saying yes one time so we can see what happens when we have victory in you. And maybe this week is the week that we take that first step of obedience. So God, we just pray as we go out today that you would remind us throughout the week, that you would use that still small voice to bring that fresh breath, so that we can be conquerors, not because of us, but because of you. And God, let us begin to take back the ground that the enemy has taken. There's ground all around each and every one of us that the enemy has taken. And so, Lord, let us step back into that in your power and in your presence and in your fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, thank you so much for being here today. I did want to say we have a little petty baby here today. And how old now? 6 weeks. Oh my goodness. That is so precious. Don't go look at that, honey. Those days are over. But anyway, that's exciting. We're so glad to have you. Congratulations. And just praying for great days ahead. So God bless you all. Have a great afternoon. Hope that you'll join us for Sunday school.